Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me. Truly a pleasure to have you. Housekeeping note real quick, please. Just bear with me. I will be gone the next couple of days. I wanted to be here at the beginning of the week, push myself to do it. The family would like to get out of town, and honestly, I'm not quite fully recovered from having the clot in my lungs, so Alan Sanders is going to fill in for me tomorrow and Friday. Then Monday is Memorial Day, so I'll be out of town. And on Tuesday, June 1st, all of us will be together live once again across all the stations. A few have to leave for reasons that we will discuss later. But right now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I do not have a medical background. I have stayed at Holiday Inn Expresses, or is it Holiday Inns Express? But I'm not a doctor. I don't even necessarily know that I am an armchair quarterback, able and capable of diagnosing, but I'm going to try. I am going to try because I'm fairly confident, fairly sure, fairly certain that some of the press corps out there today has daddy issues when it comes to Donald Trump. They are out in force blaming Donald Trump for their refusal to believe that possibly the Wuhan laboratory is the source of the COVID virus. Here's Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, who, by the way, I've got a cordial relationship with her. I don't know her. We've had a cordial relationship. She does good work. But she's one of many members of the press who just seems like Donald Trump really broke her in some way. And just listen to this.
This matters. Understanding where coronavirus and how the pandemic began matters. A lot of the discussion about the lab leak, I think, was clouded early on because there was the suggestion by some that it was somehow a Chinese weapon that caused this. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lab accident. But we've come a long way from people dismissing this as a conspiracy theory to a lot of people taking this seriously, Maggie.
We have, John. And look, I do think it's important to remember that part of the issue when this was first being reported on and discussed back a few months after the pandemic had begun was that then President Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab, and they also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing what it was. And so because of that, that made this instantly political. I think that it was, you know, example 1000 when the Trump administration learned that when you have burned your own credibility over and over again, people are not immediately going to believe you, especially in an election year. However, that does not mean it's not worth discussing. There has been a sort of persistent, albeit relatively quiet, focus on whether that was the origin of the virus, and it is compounded by the fact that there have not been clear answers from Chinese officials about it, and that investigators trying to find out the origin have been stymied. So I do think we're in a different period of this, John, but I also think it's important to remember because I think it's getting reframed in a way that's just not true to what happened. I don't mean here. I mean in this broader debate by Trump supporters about what happened when this was originally raised.
No, so because Donald Trump didn't give them the evidence and it was a campaign year, they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe. Chris Cuomo, I can't play you all of Chris Cuomo, but I got to play you some of this. I didn't even ask Charlie to try to navigate through this soundbite for me. It's worth me playing a very little excerpt of this.
The worst of the pandemic is in all likelihood behind us. That's what those in charge and looking at the science and looking at the data say. Good. So how about a return to the beginning? Where did the virus come from? Well, China. Okay. But how? Animals like bats that spread it to humans by mistake, intentionally, or was the virus weaponized and unleashed from a lab? All those are legitimate questions, but it's how people are exploiting the unknown to forward BS that we have to expose. This theory that it was from the lab is gaining traction, especially here, especially in political circles on the right. U.S. intelligence determined several researchers at China's Wuhan Institute of Virology fell ill in November 2019 and had to be hospitalized. Why? Now, that adds fuel to the arguments that it was COVID-19. That's why. Do we know that? No. But it is something that Trump and co. have been pushing for more than a year. Listen.
Have you seen anything that gives you high confidence that it originated in that Wuhan lab?
Martha, there's enormous evidence that that's where this began.
What gives you a high degree of confidence that this originated from the Wuhan Institute of Virology?
I can't tell you that. I'm not allowed to tell you that. We have a lot of information, and it's not good. But you know, the worst of all, whether it came from the lab or came from the bats or came, it all came from China, and they should have stopped it.
Now, look, the reason that they're pushing it is because they want to forget who failed to stop it here. OK, that's the interest. Because remember, Trump was all about the love when it came to China and how they were dealing with COVID until COVID started to hurt him at home. And until the big lie, which really started with the fact that the pandemic was a hoax. Hold on. That's what this was about. That's why there's this curiosity, because the more wrong China is, the less wrong Trump was. That's the theory. Now, one of the people who've seen the U.S. intel report on the sickened lab workers, okay, tells CNN there's still nothing definitive. The Wuhan lab director calls the report a complete lie. Do you believe them?
Okay. That's Chris Cuomo. That's not from a year ago. That's from last night. Chris Cuomo doesn't want to believe the lab leak because it might make Trump less culpable. But notice who he says. Notice what Chris Cuomo says. The reason they're pushing is because they want to forget who failed to stop it here. That would be his brother, Andrew Cuomo, not Donald Trump. That would be Andrew Cuomo and the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, who were telling people that it wasn't going to spread, go party for Chinese New Year, and also go out for St. Patrick's Day. Let's not forget that this was all flaring up before St. Patrick's Day, and Bill de Blasio was still telling people the week before, go party. But combine Chris Cuomo with Maggie Haberman. They didn't want to believe it was so because it was the Trump administration telling them it was so. Their default was that it could not be true because Donald Trump was saying so. And it was a campaign year. He was doing whatever he could. I mean, that's their actual position. That was their actual desire, was to deny that it could be so. And it was always plausible. And by the way, what they're not telling you is we knew at the time what some of the intelligence was. How do I know that? Because Tom Cotton was on television talking about the stuff that they could tell us. Let's hit pause for just a minute on life if we can. Just pause. Pretend it's not happening. Let me give you a fact pattern here. There's an institute in China that studies viruses, particularly SARS-CoV viruses. The city in which that institute exists is covered in a SARS-CoV virus. People are dying. Hospitals are overwhelmed. The month, 2 months before the city was overwhelmed, in November of 2019, that lab got shut down. Cell phone service went to zero. There was no one there. Traffic anywhere near the area was blocked off. People couldn't get to the lab. There was no traffic at the lab. There was no one going in or out of the lab. And then 2 weeks later, a man shows up in a hospital in Wuhan, China, who has what appears to be flu-like symptoms, tests negative for the flu, and people who come into contact with him also get the virus. Those were all known facts at the time. What we did not know until Monday was that about, what, two dozen people within the lab went to the hospital with flu-like symptoms but tested negative for flu? It wasn't just one guy. It was like two dozen people. We now know all of these things. We didn't know those things then, but we know them now. But what we knew at the time from Tom Cotton, who said it on television, it was confirmed by intelligence officials, is that in the first week or two of December, a man shows up at a hospital in China with flu-like symptoms. He's in Wuhan. He tests negative for flu. Other people come into contact with him get the same thing. And we know that 2 weeks before that, by this time, by the way, by the time Tom Cotton says this on television last year, we know that there's about a two-week incubation period for COVID before you have symptoms. And Tom Cotton says on television, 2 weeks before that man went to the hospital, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the whole place is shut down. No one's coming in. No one's going out. There's no cell service there. The roads are blocked off. No one can get there. This was all known at the time, and it wasn't known from Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't talk about it. Donald Trump didn't say those things. Tom Cotton did. And what was the media response? They called him a racist. They called Tom Cotton a racist for saying those things. They're broken by Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem with this. I was actually in, I won't say his name, but I was talking to a very prominent national reporter last night who most of you, probably all of you, would know. And he, in March of 2020, was tweeting that it was actually very plausible. It was very plausible. And he sent me his tweet and he said, look at the responses. And the responses were overwhelmingly from progressives, calling him a racist, telling him to stop, telling him he was carrying water for Donald Trump. How dare he? And he said, one thing that's not appreciated by a lot of people is particularly if your sympathies are already on the left and you're in the media, the mob can pressure you into changing your mind. He said one of his frustrations is that the media, many reporters are so already connected to the left, tied to the left, affiliated with the left, that when the left comes calling and makes demands, they're really likely to bend to the pressure of the mob. And that's exactly what happened last year. It's exactly what happened. Orange man bad. He's up for re-election. We must stop him. We can't believe him. Let's say he's lying. That was the media. That's the media playbook. It was the media playbook for the entire 4 years of the Trump administration. And the result is that now the media is coming out and saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe it was right, but it's Donald Trump's fault. It was all Donald Trump. That's why we couldn't believe it. Donald Trump said it was so, and you can't believe Donald Trump. You know, the boy who cried wolf eventually cried wolf because there was a wolf. And the wolf devoured the flock. You can say Donald Trump's a boy who cried wolf. That's true, but Donald Trump at one point cried wolf and was right. He was more often right than not, but the media just didn't want to believe him because the media didn't like Donald Trump. They like Joe Biden. They're willing to believe everything Joe Biden says. And here's the ultimate problem here now is that they're forcing people through this behavior. They really are forcing people to go find news elsewhere because everyone knows they're full of crap. And so people are rushing off to their friends on social media and into other outlets. And some of those outlets are taking advantage of them. Some of them are peddling conspiracy theories. Some of them really are even less credible than the not very credible members of the media. And people are being drawn into conspiracy theories. They're being lied to, and they can't tell they're being lied to that because of confirmation bias and the like. And it's really not their fault, and the media says it's their fault. If only they would listen to us, but how can we? Because you've been lying too. And no one in the media wants to acknowledge it. Someone's got to have an intervention. Someone's got to have an intervention with the media. But I can't say that because I'm a conservative. They won't believe me. You know, the moment I said I would support Donald Trump in 2020, they canceled all my invites on TV. They were perfectly happy to have me come on CNN until I said I was supporting Trump. I think CNN has now fired Rick Santorum. Does CNN have anybody at CNN who actually supported Donald Trump in 2020? I don't think they do. Their ratings are down. I want to talk about that when we come back. But we need an honest media. A free people need a free press, and a free press is not free when it's been captured by their own bigotry, fears, and prejudice against half of the American public.
You can follow Eric around social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com.
I'm going to make a commitment. I really do promise. I am going to redouble my efforts on the recipes. I've been experimenting. I will get recipes out. In fact, I have a white barbecue chicken recipe. Now, if you're not familiar with white barbecue sauce, it is a staple of Alabama. In fact, I think it is unique to Alabama. It's kind of growing around the country, but it's a mayonnaise-based barbecue sauce, which may sound horrible to you, but it's actually good. And I got a recipe it's probably been 15 years ago. I got a recipe for white barbecue sauce for chicken, and it required Lee and Perrin's white wine marinade, which became their chicken marinade or chicken Worcestershire sauce, and they've stopped making it. They do not make it anymore. And I'm, what on earth? And I finally, this is how my wife loves this recipe. My wife loves this white barbecue chicken. And I finally had to call Lee and Perrin's corporate headquarters and beg to find someone who could tell me the seasoning ingredients in the Lee and Perrin's chicken marinade. Because if you look on the label of the Lee and Perrin's chicken marinade, and I was able to find it online, it gives you some, but it doesn't give you all of the spices. I'm like, what? And we didn't have a bottle. It's like, what are the spices in this? I've got to be able to. And finally, my goodness gracious, it has taken some time, and I finally mastered the white barbecue. And just so you understand, a lot of people put horseradish in the white barbecue sauce. My wife can't eat horseradish, which is one reason we liked this recipe, because it didn't have horseradish in it. So I finally mastered it. I will get the recipe. I will double down. I will commit. I will email. But if you want them, you've got to text the word recipe to 33777. You'll get a link back. And when you get the link back, you've got to fill out, put your email address into the form that you get. And I will send out the recipes. I got to send out the white barbecue one because I sent it out years ago. And now I've had to update it because Lee and Perrin stopped making that chicken marinade. And you can get it. It's an easy, good recipe. But it's basically mustard, onion powder, garlic powder, and some white wine and regular Worcestershire sauce and a few other things, several other things in there. But I'll get it out. I promise I will double down. Text recipe to 33777. Now, when we come back, China. We'll just make this a China and the media day. John Cena, we talked about him yesterday, in Chinese, apologizing to China for offending the Chinese people by daring to call Taiwan a country, which it is. Even members of the press are starting to pick on John Cena, but very few of them. This is not the story that I think it should be. And when you dig into some of the data out there, you may begin to understand why, including the ratings from the media. My goodness, people. Do you know CNN has lost 2/3 of its audience since Donald Trump went away? I've got the numbers when we come back. This hour of the program sponsored by First Liberty Building and Loan in Noonan, Georgia. Nationwide, they can help your business grow. If you need access to six figures or more in capital to grow your business, reach out to First Liberty Building and Loan. Just spend 10 minutes with them. See if you're a good fit for their program. They want to help you get to yes, where so many banks right now are telling businesses no. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website. Now, we need to spend a little time on this China stuff in the media. I'm actually fascinated by some members of the media actually ridiculing John Cena for his nonsensical statement and apology, but a lot of them haven't covered it, and I want to give you some numbers. The Washington Free Beacon has this story from Chuck Ross. A news agency controlled by the Chinese Communist Party paid millions of dollars to American newspapers and magazines over the past 6 months, even as U.S. officials have sounded the alarm on Beijing's propaganda activities. China Daily paid more than $1.6 million for advertising campaigns in Time Magazine, The Los Angeles Times, Financial Times, and Foreign Policy Magazine, according to disclosures filed with the Justice Department. The Beijing-controlled news agency paid another $1 million to American newspapers, including the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, and Houston Chronicle, to print copies of its own publications. U.S. officials have increasingly drawn attention to CCP, that's Chinese Communist Party, propaganda campaigns in the West. The Justice Department requires several Chinese news companies, including China Daily, to disclose their activities under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Officials have also warned that CCP-affiliated groups have hosted events with American think tanks and educational institutions in an attempt to boost their influence. Several American newspapers have come under fire for publishing China Daily inserts entitled China Watch. Though designed to look like normal newspaper stories, the inserts contain articles that portray the Chinese government and life in China in a positive light. The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post have all severed ties in recent years with China Daily amid complaints they were publishing Chinese communist propaganda. The Times purged hundreds of China Daily advertorials from its website last year because of concerns over working with state-run media. Time magazine took in $700,000 for advertising. The Los Angeles Times received $272,000. Foreign Policy and Financial Times received $291,000 and $371,577, respectively. The Globe and Mail, a Canadian newspaper, raked in $329,898 for advertising. Time appears to be a new China Daily client. The magazine's website features articles from China Daily with the disclosure paid partner content, though without any mention of its affiliation with the Chinese government. I can stop there. CNN is tied to Warner Brothers, which wants access to the Chinese box office. CBS is tied to Viacom, which is tied to Paramount, which wants access to the Chinese box office. MSNBC and NBC are tied to Comcast, which owns Universal Pictures, which wants access to the Chinese box office. Most egregious of all, ABC and ESPN are owned by Disney, which films movies in the Chinese region that operates concentration camps. Can you imagine Walt Disney collaborating with Hitler? His successors at his company are collaborating with a regime that is not quite as bad as Hitler, but also headed down that road. very clearly and obviously. How can CNN tell us what's going on in China with a critical eye? I mean, I want to be fair here. I actually do want to be fair to CNN. Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer in particular have done a number of stories over the last year about the egregious abuses in China. They have highlighted BBC reporting. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, got thrown out of China for highlighting undercover videos of Uyghur citizens of China being forced onto the trains to go to the concentration camps, much like Jews were forced on the trains to go to the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. They highlighted those videos. They've run a number of stories on what the Chinese are doing. The BBC has, and CNN has echoed those. So CNN does actually deserve some credit here. But how much longer can it go on? AT&T is going to sell CNN to the Discovery Network. The Discovery Network is going to buy the bulk of it as well, so they're going to be entangling ties to China. NBC News very rarely touches on the subject anymore. NBC News has become a propaganda rag for Hamas terrorists and an apologist for China. ABC with Disney, my goodness, remember the Hong Kong protesters? ESPN wouldn't show them every time that they held up a sign in support of Hong Kong. They would change the camera. They blocked Falun Gong and other activists from going to games. The NBA did, with ESPN's blessing, because they didn't want the protesters there. Disney made Mulan in an area of China where there are concentration camps. How can ABC News report on China accurately? Time magazine got $700,000 from communist propaganda outfits. Do you really believe that Time magazine is going to forego $700,000 in an industry that seems to be flailing about? The Los Angeles Times has been up for a sale repeatedly. It got $272,000 from China Daily, the Chinese communist propaganda outfit. Do you really believe that they're going to actually be honest with what's going on? Do you really believe that? I'm just not sure we can get a straight take from the media anymore on China. That's part of the problem here. And it's also why I suspect more and more people are going to go further down rabbit holes as they move away from the media. And that's the alarming, disheartening thing for me, because I really do believe we've got a commitment to the truth here. Not my truth, not your truth, but the actual truth. I'm sorry, I'm a modernist. I'm not a postmodernist. I believe there's objective truth out there. I really do. And sometimes it's hard to get to. But I think there's objective truth. Now, I think there's objective truth because there's this guy named Jesus who I actually believe in. And he says he is the way and he is the truth. And if he is the truth, then there must be objective truth, because he is somewhere in a fold in space right now waiting to come back. And if he is the truth, then there is real truth. And if there is real truth, then you and I have a commitment to that truth and not your truth or my truth. And I don't think many of the godless, secularist, atheist members of the media really care about the truth anymore. They care about stopping Donald Trump. And if they can lie, cheat, and steal to do it, they do it. They care about stopping you and me. They believe Marjorie Taylor Greene, a single congresswoman from Northwest Georgia without a single committee seat assignment in Congress, is an existential threat to the existence of the republic. You got Jay Rosen, the distinguished professor of journalism at New York University, actually fretting over this country being on the verge of a Christofascist nationalist regime. That's right. He believes that a Christian white nationalist regime is on the verge of overtaking this country. He's a journalism professor. He's teaching future journalists. I got all sorts of problems with that, with the media bubble, with their unwillingness to consider the legitimacy of yours and my arguments. Ellen Page is now Elliot Page. The media wants us to see her pictures of her shirtless. No, I kid you not. I got on Google News, and there were two separate stories on Google News about of course, they call her Elliot now, and you're a bigot if you call her Ellen. Ellen Page, the actress who is transgender now, has decided she's been kind of nuts for a while, has now decided she's Elliot and wants you to see her shirtless. Who's the culture war? Just as an aside, who the hell's the culture warrior here? You and me who just want to go about our lives, or the members of the press who demand we see this woman shirtless and call her a boy or else we're canceled? Who's the culture warrior? And it's members of the media doing that. The same members of the media who couldn't be honest with us about the Wuhan virus, who were calling it the Wuhan virus until Donald Trump called it the Wuhan virus and then said it was racist to call it what the same people were saying a week ago. The same members of the media who were taking money from China. And by the way, it's not doing them any favors. It's not doing them any favors. Here is a story from the Daily Caller. Ratings from Nielsen Media Research reported Tuesday indicated CNN lost 67% of its total viewers since January when Donald Trump left the White House. During the primetime hours of 8 to 11 p.m., CNN lost 65% of its total viewers since January. In the critical 25 to 54 age demographic, the network lost 71% of its viewers. CNN's drop in viewers is larger than its competitors, but all major cable news shows have experienced a drop. MSNBC had the second largest drop in viewership since January, losing 49% of its total viewership between January and May. In the 25 to 54 age demographic, that's the one the advertisers use to set ad rates for cable buys and radio buys for that matter. The network lost 63% of its 25 to 54 demographic. During primetime, MSNBC lost 42% of its total viewers and 58% of viewers between the ages of 25 and 54. Fox News had the least substantial drop, losing 12% of its viewers and 15% of viewers 25 to 54. CNN's New Day has taken a major hit in ratings. The show had its least watched week of the year, with 461,000 total viewers and 108,000 viewers in the demo. It averaged less than 500,000 viewers for the past four consecutive weeks. And on the weekends, it's even worse. I think it was Glenn Greenwald. I'm not really a big fan of the guy. I got issues with him. He's not really he's not a conservative, but because he hates the press these days, a lot of conservatives embrace him. He does have, though, a legitimate, interesting Twitter thread out there on the collapse of the media, and in particular, the collapse of MSNBC. It is striking just how bad MSNBC is. Let me read you some of this. This is his Twitter thread. Because the political media class cares about cable news, I don't think it's sunk in how the audience for MSNBC and CNN has disappeared almost completely. On the weekend, there's basically nobody under 55 watching MSNBC. They barely get 50,000 people. Almost any YouTube video gets more than that. The demographics are even more amazing. They basically talk only to the elderly. 9 out of 10 MSNBC viewers on the weekend, 90% of MSNBC's weekend audience are over 55. The median age of their viewers is 68 years old. But even among the elderly, barely anyone watches. The numbers are shocking. Let me give you this. This is of all total viewers. Total viewers. Al Sharpton gets 505,000 viewers at 5 p.m. on MSNBC. The Sunday show on Fox News gets 672,000. Mehdi Hasan, the Hamas apologist on MSNBC on Sundays, he gets 412,000. Mark Levin at the same time slot gets 1,251,000. But wait, there's more. There's more. Let's do the demo. The demo. What is the demo? At 8 p.m., Mehdi Hasan gets 49,000 viewers. Mark Levin at the same time gets 124,000 viewers in the demo. Al Sharpton gets 57,000 viewers in the demo. The Sunday Show on Fox gets 108,000 viewers in the demo. It's striking how massively old the audience is at MSNBC. They're barely breaking 50,000 viewers. Y'all, if you need perspective here, I interact with more people than that on an hourly basis. My audience is bigger than MSNBC's audience. They're dying. You know, they talk about how Fox News is just a bunch of old people, that advertisers on Fox, they don't care for Fox because Fox just has old people. Never mind, there's a concerted effort, concerted campaign to try to kill off Fox's advertisers. But Fox has a younger demo than MSNBC. MSNBC has a bunch of blue-haired commies who haven't gotten over the collapse of the Berlin Wall. That's who watches them for their Depends ads. They get a buy one, get one free Depend on MSNBC while watching Al Sharpton. That's not sustainable. I guess they'll have to start taking propaganda inserts from China here to keep MSNBC going. All right, the phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Delighted to have you with me today. We will return.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
Hello, it is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you wish to be a part of this fine program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I did not really intend to spend the entire time on the on commies in China, but I mean, when you can beat up commies in China, the media, why not? I want to spend a moment here. I gotta be honest with you. This will be disqualifying to some of you, and I apologize in advance for breaking your hearts. I'm not an Ayn Rand fan. I'm sorry. Her writing is terrible. She needed an editor. I'm not an Ayn Rand fan. She's got some good ideas, but one of the things that I've always had a problem with Ayn Rand is her idea that there really isn't altruism. Everybody does stuff for their own self-interest. And I don't really believe that that's the case. I don't actually think that that's human nature. And I guess to the degree that if I give someone money, it makes me feel good that I made them do something, then okay, yeah, I guess it's self-interested in that regard. But I just the hills that people want to die on in defense of Randianism, I just think are ridiculous. You know, last night, so I had to stay at a hotel last night, and the lady who was in charge of room service was by herself. Now, there was a cook in the kitchen, but she was taking all the orders and all the deliveries. And it took me probably an hour to finally get her on the phone to get my order in. And, I mean, she had it to me within like 20 minutes. I tipped the woman $20 because I know she was busting her butt. I was glad that I am in a position where I can do something like that, which wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, not big. But poor lady was just working her butt off. I could give her $20. But here's the interesting thing. And Abigail Marsh is a professor of psychology at Georgetown University, and she's got a great piece in the New York Times. Everyone thinks Americans are selfish. They're wrong. The United States is notable for its individualism. The results of several large surveys assessing the values held by the people of various nations consistently ranked the United States as the world's most individualist country. Individualism, as defined by behavioral scientists, means valuing autonomy, self-expression, and the pursuit of personal goals rather than prioritizing the interests of the group, be it family, community, or country. Now, let me stop you there. And say, this is basic Adam Smith here. This isn't Ayn Rand. This is Adam Smith. Adam Smith believes that if each person pursues their own individual self-interest, that they will ultimately improve the community because each individual self-interest requires an act of sacrifice and commitment to do something to benefit oneself. And by benefiting oneself, one benefits the community around them by providing a good or service that benefits other people that they can then make money from. Individualism is good. Free enterprise is good. Free enterprise and individualism have elevated people out of poverty and has made this country what it is. So now I go back to her piece. Whether America's individualism is a source of pride or concern varies. Some people extol its mindset as a source of our entrepreneurial spirit, self-reliance, geographic mobility. Others worry that our individualism is antithetical to a sense of social responsibility, whether that means we're refusing to wear masks and get vaccinated during the pandemic, or disrupting the close family bonds and social ties seen in more traditional societies. Everyone seems to agree our individualism makes us self-centered or selfish, and to disagree only about how concerning that is. But new research suggests the opposite. When comparing countries, my colleagues and I found that greater levels of individualism were linked to more generosity, not less, as we detail in a forthcoming article in the journal Psychological Science. Essentially, what they found is that societies that are more community-oriented, more collaborative as a group, more socialist, everyone relies on the government, so no one's very generous. And here, because we are individuals who pursue individual identity and individual growth, we are more generous to others and use our money to the advancement of other people and causes in ways socialist countries don't. Turns out, if you're an individualist, a rugged individualist, you tend to be way more generous, which is why Republicans tend to give more than Democrats to charitable causes.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.